Now, at this point in our reading, it may appear that Jesus is showing favoritism. It appears as though he is giving this mystery to his disciples, but to the rest of the crowd, he is somehow hiding it and keeping it hidden. Now, this is true, but we must understand that there's nothing deceptive about why Jesus spoke in parables. He's not doing some kind of sleight of hand trickery where he's like, look over here while I do something else. It's not what he's doing. And before we dissect this, we must go to the very foundation of our understanding that Jesus is God and that he knows what is in a man. Jesus was before the foundation of the world, and you and I were created by him. He sees into the minds and the hearts of everyone that he speaks to, thereby knowing exactly the condition of every heart that he speaks to. He knows every path and every decision that has led every individual to either becoming calloused or sensitive to his voice. He knows every aspect of that. Like I said before, know your audience. He knows who he's speaking to, and he knows how to speak to them, to give them what they need. What's amazing in that his parable of the sower of the seed is he incorporates every possible heart condition and even plugs himself into it as he is doing the very act of the sower in his story. He's talking about himself as he's doing the act of sowing the seed, which is kind of amazing. All the sower does is sow the seed, regardless of where it falls. And as he's telling the parable, his words are falling on deaf ears. And they're falling on attentive ears and every type in between. The word fell on everyone in the crowd. Everyone heard the mystery, but not everyone understood. Hearing and understanding are two different things. And the reason for that was revealed in his parable. Matthew adds more detail to this parable, and Matthew records Jesus saying, to the one who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. If you're like me, you're like, what? That doesn't sound right. So what Matthew records Jesus saying here may come across like some unrelated statement because it doesn't seem to fit in our preconceived notions of his grace and his mercy and his kindness and his love. And if we see it that way, I believe that we are letting our ideals and our preconceived notions of who we think God is get in the way of us understanding what he is saying there. Why would he give to someone who already has? Why not give it to someone who doesn't? And then why would he then say, taking away from someone who doesn't have anything? It seems backwards to us of our fundamental understanding of who God is. And so we need to step outside of our preconceived notions and look at this objectively and look at what is he saying in context to this parable? What is he getting after? And so we need to then do as Jesus instructed when he first started the parable. Listen. Not just with your brains, but with your heart. Listen. And as Jesus closes his parable, he says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And there we have the possession Jesus is talking about. He who has ears to hear will be given the mystery of the kingdom of God because they have the ears to receive what's being given. So thereby, to the one who has, more will be given. To the one who has ears to hear, more will be given because they have the tools to receive that which is being given to them. The one who has ears to hear is the good soil. The one in whom the seed falls, which grows to its full term and bears fruit. Now, the one who does not have ears to hear, even the mystery that is spoken to him will be taken away from him because he doesn't understand it. This is the one whose heart is the hardened path. The seed is sown, the secret is spoken in words, but because there is no ear to hear, because the heart is hardened, the seed cannot penetrate, and then Satan comes and takes even that away. So that makes it so much clearer that, so from the one who doesn't have even what he has will be taken away. So those who don't have ears to hear, Jesus still sows the seed. He still speaks of the mystery, but because they can't hear it, they can't understand it, then Satan comes and takes that away. So they've been given the mystery, but they can't understand it. And so Satan comes and takes even that away. So Jesus is not being partial. He is not favoring those within his circle and excluding those without. His grace is freely given even to the deaf and the hardened hearts. These are the ones he came to save. But he will not force their hand. They must come to him. And that's why it's an invitation. He must come to him. Those within his circle are the ones who have accepted his invitation. And those outside of his circle have rejected his invitation. He does only what he sees his Father doing. And as he reveals in his parable, the sower sows. That's it. He invites everyone. He sows regardless of where it lands. The condition of your heart is up to you. Now, if you don't care to understand the mystery that's given to you, if the message of Christ has no bearing on you, and you are not convicted to seek him out, no one is to blame but you. You have then willingly ignored the gift of God, and you have closed your ears to not just his words, but to what he has meant for you to understand with your heart. And then Jesus quotes Isaiah, revealing that this is nothing new. And I'm going to be reading from Matthew, because Matthew, again, does the actual quoting of Jesus, where Mark does just a paraphrase. And so Matthew 13, verses 13 to 15, Jesus says, "This is why I speak to them in parables." And he quotes Isaiah, "Though seeing, they do not see, and though hearing, they do not hear or understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, 'You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused, and they hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and turn, and I would heal them.'" You see, Christ's compassion is still intact. Isaiah spoke of it. And again, we see Jesus drawing the primary importance of spiritual over physical. Even though the people could hear with their physical ears and see with their physical eyes, the meaning of what was said and what they saw was lost. And maybe you're thinking, well, what if Jesus just spoke plainly instead of in parables? Then everyone would just simply understand and it would all be good. And I was thinking that if it was that simple, then I don't know if the coming of Jesus was even necessary. But because we do know that Jesus came and that he did die for our sins, we have to conclude that there is something fundamentally wrong with humanity, with our ability to understand spiritual things, to understand the very core of our creation. We were designed in the image of God. We were created according to his image. So there's something fundamentally wrong with our understanding of that and our insight, in that there's something personal about Jesus' arrival. Humanity is blinded by their own desire for sin. And as Isaiah prophesied, those who don't understand the gospel have calloused themselves. They have closed their own eyes. They are willfully ignoring or not paying attention to the mystery that is standing before them. And yet, Christ still sows the seed. Jesus is a master storyteller. I am not. I am not good at telling stories at all. He spoke with relevancy of his time on earth, and he spoke in stories that were easy to remember. They were, you could say, colorful, full of enough detail to grab your attention and make you want to ask the questions. That is, if you hear, if your hearing is good. His following was massive. And it appeared that the general public just wanted to get a piece of his healing power, or even just to see what he could do. And yet he told parables to grab the attention of those who were ready to hear his message, while concealing it from those who could care less about it. Because Jesus' parables are more than stories, they carry with it a deeper meaning which requires further explanation. At this point, those who do not have ears to hear, they just walk away and go about their business. While those who do have ears to hear, they are drawn closer to follow up with Jesus and ask, "What did you mean by what you said? I don't understand what you're talking about, but I want to understand it. I want some clarity." And we may be interested in what Jesus is saying, and we may be drawn closer in order to gain understanding, but know this, that Jesus is not simply offering you knowledge about the mystery of the kingdom of God. Again, it's not just data and information that you can accumulate. Because he is the mystery of the kingdom of God, his parables are designed to draw you in order for you to get to know him, the person. His arrival, his revelation is personal. It's not merely informative. It's personal. The disciples and those with him followed up with Jesus, and when he was alone, they asked him about the parable, and he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all parables?" Now, Jesus didn't interpret all of his parables, but this one I think was worth explaining, because this one is the key to understanding the rest of the parables. Now, this doesn't mean that all the parables that we can read about have the same layout or the same framework or the same formula that we can figure out, because then we could figure it out. We have to remember that our understanding of the scriptures comes from the Holy Spirit and not our own intellect. This parable of the sower and the seed is the introduction to the purpose of all of Christ's parables, in that they are designed to draw those who have ears to hear, those whose hearts are ready to receive the gospel of Jesus. This parable precedes the others because it preps those who hear to examine their hearts, because it's in the heart where the word of God is sown. It's in the heart. This is all about a heart matter, not about understanding with your brain matter. And as I mentioned the last time I spoke, if you don't have ears to hear, you may have heard the words that I've spoken today, but you have missed their purpose and meaning. Maybe you're looking for something more entertaining or exciting. And at that, I have to ask the question, are you looking for Jesus or are you looking to satisfy your boredom? If there's anything about this message that has stood out to you, that has caused you to want to know more about God and his love for you, then I would urge you and encourage you to go to him in prayer. And we'll be kneeling here in a moment. Go to him in prayer and ask for his understanding. Remember, his understanding is active. It prompts you to act. It prompts you to believe. Be sincere in your prayer. Be honest. Ask the question, even if you think it's a dumb question. And it's something I tell my New Life class students. There are no dumb questions, provided that you are sincere and honest in the questions that you ask. Ask the questions. And maybe you didn't learn much today. And maybe you've just simply enjoyed a reminder that you may have forgotten. I think we need to be careful sometimes to not expect some profound revelation with every message that we hear. Sometimes we need to just a simple reminder of the very simple things, because I think sometimes we easily forget the fundamental things. And so if you found that you haven't learned much today, I hope that you have been reminded of a very simple fundamental truth that brings you back to the foundation as to why you are loved by God, as to why and how you are a child of God. Because the fundamental things are very important to remember, to never forget them. You are allowed to simply enjoy being told what you already know, and then just feel the joy of knowing that it's true about you. To simply, amen, amen, agree with it. It's like, yes, tell me the truth again. Tell me what I already know. Tell me again. because it's true and it's amazing. It's amazing grace. It's amazing good news. And if you've just been agreeing with the Word of God and just enjoying hearing the truth that you've already heard before, I hope you know that it's a gift that can only come from the joy that is found in the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit in you that bears witness of everything that God has done. It is the Holy Spirit within you that is producing this joy, because that's the joy of the Lord, knowing that His work is producing fruit. He is doing a wonderful work. So for those of you who have ears to hear, may you never tire of hearing the simple, fundamental truth that God loves you. And you could dissect that God loves you so very deeply into everything that's in the Scriptures. But as a whole, God loves you. God loves you. And I hope that you never tire of that, even though you've heard it before. Allow the Holy Spirit to pique your interest. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. I'd like to close with praying together, and then we'll give you a moment to pray on your knees silently, and then we'll close with a benediction. So let's pray together. Father, we thank you again for the revelation of your Son, and that we can read in the Scriptures that is more than what we understand Scriptures to be, but they are documentation, biographies and history, geography, all of those things that do contain data and information. But all of that data and information points to you, a personal, active, interactive, inviting, gracious being that is after our hearts. That you are after us understanding who you are, and you want to give us the understanding. You're not stringing us along to try and work for it and try to figure it out, because we could never get there and we would be frustrated and that would be awful. So we thank you that you graciously and freely give your grace, that you graciously and freely sow the seed regardless of where it falls, and that you have somehow done so that those who have ears to hear are prompted to find you and seek you and ask the questions and pursue you. And those who don't hear just go about their business, and still you invite them. So Father, I pray that if there is anyone who is hearing, truly hearing and understanding for the first time today, that you would root them deeply in the foundation of your love and your grace. That they would truly know and understand that what Jesus has done and completed on the cross has left them forgiven and righteous. I pray that that joy of knowing that you have done this work and it's been given to us would never leave us. That we would always be reminded of that simple fact, that we are forgiven and free and that we have life in you. We just ask again that with everything that was said today, that everything we've heard today, that you would grant us your understanding and your wisdom. We thank you for the seed that has been sown, and we just trust in you to do the work that only you can do. And so we confess our dependence upon you. We lay it at your feet. We trust in you and we believe you. We just thank you for your grace and your mercy and for the work that you're doing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And with that, if you're willing and able, please take a moment and kneel with me in prayer. Father, we want to understand with our hearts the mystery of the kingdom of God. We want to know what it means to be your child, to be forgiven, to be set free. And we want to know you, Because in the end, we will stand before you and we will see you as you see us. We thank you again for your Holy Spirit who prays and intercedes for us. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The gift of Christ is a secret made known to those who have ears to hear, and I hope that you've heard that today. Allow the good news of Jesus to penetrate your heart, the good soil which will bring about the obedience of faith in you to produce good fruit. And so I want to close with one of my favorite verses, one that is still astounding me. And it's interesting that Paul, in the first letter that he writes, he opens Romans chapter 1, verse 5 with that through Jesus we have received grace and apostleship. And I love he gives the reason to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among all nations. And then I'll close with this benediction, which Paul closes his letter to the Romans in Romans 16, 25 to 26. So he opens Romans and closes Romans in the same fashion. And in Romans 16, 25, 26, I'll leave you with this benediction. He says, "Now to him who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages, but now has been disclosed and through the prophetic writings has been made known to all nations, according to the command of the eternal God to bring about the obedience of faith." That is my wish and my prayer for all of us, that we would be there in the obedience of faith, understanding, not just hearing, but understanding the word of God. And so go in his peace, go with his understanding and his wisdom. Amen.